This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Free Talk Live. You're invited here to join us. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms. They're over at discord.lrn.fm, so feel free to reach out to us in that way if you prefer. And you'll sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with you tonight. It's Ian.
Melanie.
How are you? I'm talking about Uber and Lyft, ride-sharing companies in general, and protests that's scheduled for Wednesday morning, not just in New York City, but in cities across the United States, also in the UK, where drivers will be logging out of the app and refusing to give rides for a two-hour time frame in order to protest a variety of different things. Basically demanding that they be treated like employees, even though they're contractors.
And, like, you could go get a job as an employee if you want to be an employee.
Right, yeah. If you want to be told when to show up and what to do when you show up, then go work at any other place where you're no longer in the gig economy. Part of the idea of the gig economy is that you get to decide when to work. And I was reading a bunch of different stories about this today, trying to find a good one for on air. But you know, this was one of the complaints from these protesters. The idea that I'm sorry, I forget where I was going with that. Anyway, they're planning the strike for Wednesday morning, and they are going to actually apparently be out in front of Uber's headquarters protesting there as well. Uber and Lyft drivers in New York City got an earnings bump recently when the city council approved a bill, it's from TheVerge.com, by the way, requiring ride-hail companies to pay drivers at least $17.22 per hour. Now, the new wage law relies on a so-called utilization rate, which accounts for the share of time a driver spends with passengers in their vehicles compared to the time spent idle and waiting for a fare. So part of what you're doing when you're an Uber driver is, if there's not enough, you know, rides, if there's not enough fares out there who need rides, then you're sitting around. You're killing time. You're, you know, doing whatever you would do to kill time.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to be paid while you're doing that.
Exactly. Which, I, you know, seems offensive to me that somebody could get paid for sitting around doing nothing, but that shows the mentality of the kind of people who are behind this strike.
Absolutely.
That they want to get paid for the time that they sit around and do nothing.
I mean, it's a really weird complaint. So you either get paid by the job or you get paid by the hour.
Mm-hmm.
If you get paid by the hour, all the downtime is factored into your wage. They don't just magically have more money to pay you extra for downtime. You're not really getting paid for downtime. You're just averaging out when you're actually working with your downtime and then getting paid a stable wage.
Yeah, and there's an article from Reason that actually gets into some detail on this formula that they're doing, because it's very hard to, like, you know, how does this work exactly? How do they determine who's working and when and how often? And it's very, it's complicated, and it's going to result in some manipulations to the supply of drivers. And we'll get into that here in a little bit. But an Uber spokesperson responded by listing some of the perks available to drivers, including higher earnings and free four-year college, while a spokesperson for Lyft said that driver wages have gone up over the last 2 years. Neither company would say whether they plan to use cash incentives to entice drivers to break the strike. Well, they won't have to, because the system is already set up to entice drivers to break the strike, because they'll have the increased rates. Whenever, yeah. As I was explaining earlier, they call it surge pricing with Uber. I'm sure Lyft has their own trademarked name for it. But whenever there's a high demand in an area and there's not enough drivers, the rates go up, and then drivers are actually alerted. If I remember when I was a driver for Uber, I would get an alert on my phone saying, hey, there's a high rate over in this area over here if you want to go and work, you know, because they can't tell me to go and work. They have to entice me to go and work.
Uber, and they do that by offering you more money. And it sounds like 4 years of college That's a pretty big...
That's their claim. Now, I don't know what you have to do to, you know, to qualify for that. There's probably some minimum amount of hours or something that you've got to put in. They're not just going to pay the guy who shows up on weekends, you know, right, to give a few rides 4 years in college. Uber has a complicated history with driver strikes. In January of 2017, the New York Taxi Workers Alliance, the same group behind the strike this week, announced a strike at JFK Airport to protest Donald Trump's ban on refugees from six Muslim-majority countries. Uber was accused of breaking the strike, sparking backlash from riders who tweeted photos of themselves deleting the Uber app with hashtag DeleteUber. The backlash lasted for weeks, priming the pump for a series of self-imposed scandals and executive purges from which Uber is still recovering.
Well, Uber didn't break the strike. The Uber drivers did.
That's right.
And you can't blame people for that. I mean, I wouldn't blame them for that. Oh, everybody is striking, so there's all these fares out here I can go get, and they're three times, four times what I would normally get.
Well, it's not even a political statement. It's like, okay, well, if everybody else calls in to work sick, that doesn't mean I'm going to call in to work sick.
Well, plus,
like,
it's a stupid strike anyway.
Strikes are stupid. You either quit or you don't.
Well, look, I understand the idea of being upset at Donald Trump's ban on refugees. That upset me as well. I mean, that was an outrageous thing that Trump did at the very beginning of his presidency. We reported on it here, and we were not happy about it. But we didn't, you know, protest by refusing to go on the air. I mean, what does a taxi driver or an Uber driver have anything to say? Like, why would you want to punish every single person coming out of the JFK airport for what Donald Trump did? That's the stupidest idea for a strike I think I've heard in a long time. You're punishing all the people, however many tens of thousands of them flowing out of that airport needing rides to somewhere by refusing to work because of what Donald Trump did. They didn't have any say in that. Those people getting off those planes, they just want to go home or go see their family or get to their meeting on time.
That is a pretty stupid reason to have a strike.
Yeah. Now, I understand that they might say that, well, our taxi drivers are mostly Muslim in New York because there's a lot of immigrant drivers. And, you know, I can understand, you know, maybe why they thought this was a good idea. But you don't punish average people who had no say whatsoever in a politician's decision for the decision of a politician. It's just ridiculous.
Not. And all they really succeeded in doing, evidently, was giving Uber and Lyft
a bunch of work.
A bunch of work, yeah.
So,
even though I'm just going to stand out at the airport and be like, well, I guess I'm standing at the airport. I mean,
you're going to figure it out some other way. Yeah. That said, it is extremely difficult, they say, to organize a strike among a group as disparate and diffuse as Uber and Lyft drivers. While there's sure to be a significant chunk of drivers logging off the ride-hail apps during the strike, it remains likely that others will see it as an opportunity to cash in on the disruption. Drivers are classified as independent contractors and, as such, tend to act upon their own self-interest.
And you said that Uber, at least, has a sort of blacklist, so to speak, or a waiting list, and then ultimately... I imagine a lot of these drivers that are generally active between those hours on those days are going to find themselves removed from being able to drive.
Yeah, but how would they be able to identify which ones are striking and which ones are
Because they
sick.
Ordinarily drive. Okay.
That's not fair, though.
It's not, but I still expect it to happen.
I don't know. I mean, that seems... I wouldn't say Uber isn't or can't be petty. I mean, they certainly could do something like that.
I mean, it's not really petty. If I'm like, okay... This is my business model. This is the work. And you're like, well, I'm not going to take these jobs because I hate you. That's the petty part. Somebody being like, well, I'm not going to do business with somebody who doesn't take jobs because they hate me. Like, that's not petty. That's
well, I wouldn't blame efficient. Them if they could actually identify the drivers who were striking. I wouldn't blame them for that. Like, if they were able to identify them because they're standing outside of their offices holding signs in their hands and then figured out who they were, facial recognition or whatever they would do for that, I could see that. But to just punish somebody who's normally working because they didn't work during those 2 hours,
whether or not they identify them properly, I don't know. I mean, I could identify them if I had enough time on my hands and inclination to do so. It's not that difficult.
So here's another related story. This from Reason.com. So The Verge has kind of like a left-wing tinge to it, Reason more libertarian. New York City's new minimum pay rules for rideshare drivers were intended to boost driver income, but they may be having the exact opposite effect. On Tuesday, rideshare company Juno, now this is from March, which is currently suing city regulators over the new pay rules, filed court documents showing their bookings are down 30% for the month of February. And it was that very same month when the new minimum wage, that $17 an hour minimum wage rule, went into effect. And their average hourly compensation as a result has fallen by 17%. So what's going on? How is this affecting the smaller companies? Was anybody thinking about them and the economics of this when they passed these new minimum wage rules? I suspect not. We'll get into it. It's Free Talk Live.
Are you concerned that the values that made America great are no longer taught in schools? Well, I am, so I got my son the Tuttle Twins children's book series.
My name is Jack, and I'm 11, and I just finished the Tuttle Twins series. It taught me about liberty, free market, economics, and entrepreneurship.
Give all the young people in your life a chance at reason and clear thought, because they're not going to get it at school. There are 9 books in the series, and each one teaches a set of ideas that children aren't getting elsewhere. Go to TuttleTwins.com and use coupon code FTL to get 40% off. That's TuttleTwins.com.
Bitcoin.com is delighted to announce their latest partnership with the gift card specialists at eGifter. With many of the world's leading brands on their roster, it is now easier than ever to get the gift cards of your favorite brands with Bitcoin Cash. To get started, just follow these simple steps. Visit giftcards.bitcoin.com, pick the gift card you want, follow the instructions on your screen, and make your payment using your Bitcoin Cash wallet. Sit tight and your gift card will be delivered to you as soon as it's ready. That's giftcards.bitcoin.com.
You love Bitcoin. It's the future, right? Well, no, not if everyone stops using it. I mean, think about it. How many places in your town take Bitcoin? One? None? Let's be real. If this Bitcoin thing is ever going to happen, it's going to need your help. The good news is, the guys at AnyPay have your back. We built a website called HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com, and it's a place you can send any business, and they'll be set up to take Bitcoin in 5 minutes. HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com.
Go to themorganreport.com and receive updates and insights you will not find anywhere else on the web. You will discover how to grow and protect your wealth under all market conditions. The free Morgan Report provides interviews, webinars, question and answer sessions, plus mind-blowing videos. As David Morgan says, let my passion create your wealth. themorganreport.com. themorganreport.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want here. The new minimum wage for ride-sharing contractors? How do you have a minimum wage for a contractor? It's getting really confusing in New York City. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that coming up here with you in the studio tonight. By the way, it's Ian.
Melanie.
Aria.
Also, I want to make sure you know about Freedom Fest. It's the largest liberty-oriented gathering in the world. Freedom Fest's theme is the Wild West this year. Liberty and opportunity, or lawlessness and violence. People speaking include Penn Jillette, Lenore Skenazy, Candace Owens, John Mackey, Kevin O'Leary, Kevin Harrington of Shark Tank, Stephen Moore, Grover Norquist, and others. You can go to freedomfest.com/FTL. Get your tickets now. In fact, libertarians, conservatives, liberals, anarchists, capitalists, many folks will be mingling together to hear real debates, share solutions, and converse freely. freedomfest.com/FTL. You can use coupon code FTL50, that's FTL50, for a discount. And if you're not sure whether you want to attend, you can actually get the 5 best speeches from last year for free. You can watch them over at freedomfest.com/FTL. Judge Napolitano, Alan Dershowitz, Charlie Kirk, Heather McDonald, and John Mackey, all for free at freedomfest.com/FTL. It's July 17th through the 20th, by the way, and Free Talk Live will be broadcasting from the event. Once again, freedomfest.com/FTL, like Free Talk Live. We'll get back into Uber and the new ride-sharing minimum wage and what kind of economic havoc that is wrecking in the city of New York, which is where this has been put into effect. And it was challenged, by the way, by a couple of the ride-sharing companies, and the New York State Supreme Court has ruled in favor of New York City's taxi regulators. So Lyft tried to challenge the minimum wage, and they lost.
That's unfortunate.
So we'll get into it here, but first, Sarah is on the line in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, I've been hearing that most of South America, France, Italy, and Canada have been turning communist or socialist, and Iraq had turned communist a while ago, and they put on the sanctions. And I even talked to Jamaican friends, and they told me they came out because Jamaica, once upon a time, they had turned communist, and they put sanctions on them. I remember that. So, but I do believe it because of Brazil, Bolivia, and Venezuela is definitely communist.
I don't know about that. I heard Brazil recently elected a Trump kind of character to the presidency there.
Well, I mean, Lula da Silva, the one before, he was communist.
So okay. They elected somebody new. I guess maybe they didn't like the communism or something?
I have no idea what he is about.
I mean, it's possible in your mind that people could be unhappy about communism, right? I mean, after all, in communist Russia, people were starving. They were standing in bread lines.
They're starving in Venezuela right now.
Well, yeah, it's pretty bad. But you pretty much ignore all that, those details, right, Sarah?
Well, you know what? Like I said, it's always the sanctions.
See, it's the U.S. government's fault. They can't grow their own. They can't grow their own food, huh? They have to get all the food from outside of Venezuela.
Yeah, so communism only works if it can rely on the U.S.'s resources.
Well, I mean, they have to have fair trade. You know what I mean? So,
they can trade with anyone who's willing to trade with them.
Well, no, that would be free trade. She's talking about fair trade, which is where there's government regulations, right? That's where the government decides who and where you can trade with, and subsidizes certain trades and crops over others?
Well, for example, what I want to say is the U.S. would say Canada and South America, Brazil and Venezuela, if you trade with communist Cuba, we're going to put sanctions on you and we're going to choke you out. The same thing they say China if you trade with North Korea.
Why do they need money or resources from the United States, though? Why can't they produce that themselves?
No. I'm not talking about the other countries.
Well, how can the United States choke them out if they don't need resources from the United States?
Well, I'm just saying you have to have global trading partners, you know, for the economy to function.
But China will trade with them. Other ones, even if the U.S. refuses to trade with them.
But you know what? If Cuba is not allowed to trade with all of South America and Canada, they say that you can't trade, and they get choked out, and they blame the communist system, it's the U.S. putting sanctions pressures on other countries.
Well, no, hold on, Sarah. I'm against sanctions. I just want to be clear. I think people should be able to trade with whoever they're willing to trade with, whoever, as long as both sides are willing to engage in that trade across the whole world, they should be free to do so. So I agree with that there should be no sanctions, but that still doesn't answer the question. You purposefully dodged it, so I'm going to bring it back around here. It doesn't answer the question about why people are hungry in Venezuela. You said that it's the sanctions, but that doesn't explain anything because Venezuela is basically, I mean, pretty close to the equator. It's a tropical climate. I mean, it's very, very warm there all year round. There's growing season basically constantly in Venezuela. Why is it that they're hungry? I mean, people are losing weight every year in Venezuela. Why, in your mind, is that happening? You can't blame sanctions for that, can you?
Well, you know, I think it's once they declared that Hugo Chavez declared that we're a communist country, then they had to put a tax on that country to make the economy fail.
So what?
Well, the U.S. can't put a tax on another country. They can go in and blow them up and steal their stuff, and they're pretty good at that, but they can't tax another country.
Right.
So unless the U.S. has invaded.
No, they haven't attacked. The U.S. has not attacked Venezuela.
No, I'm talking about economic attacks. In other words, like they would say to Russia, we're going to stop buying your oil, tell all the European countries to stop buying the oil, and it makes their economy fail. This is kind of the thing that I'm talking about.
But wait a minute. What does that have to do with whether or not they can feed people? I mean, oil is a whole other question. That's certainly an international product that is going to be traded in, you know, various different countries between different countries and individuals around the world. But whether or not the country in Venezuela happens to be rich in oil, has no bearing on whether or not people can grow food and eat it. So why is it that Venezuelans are hungry? You still haven't answered that question.
I have explained to you because of the capitalist countries.
No, you cannot point to other places in the world and say it's because of them over there is why I can't eat.
So if there's all these other communist countries, you know, half of Europe, Canada, all of South America, they can't among themselves produce enough to keep themselves from starving. So they can still trade with each other, even if the U.S. and the rest of Europe put sanctions on them. They can't trade with those people. Like, why can't they produce enough among themselves to support themselves?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that they say that Canada, if you trade with Cuba and South America, the communist countries, that we're going to stop buying your cars or put sanctions.
She's saying that if Canada trades with Venezuela, that the U.S. will then put sanctions on Canada.
That's correct. That's what I'm saying.
But is there not enough resources cumulatively in all of the communist countries for them to support themselves? Why do they need resources from the capitalist countries?
Well, I have no idea.
She doesn't know. That's an honest answer. Thank you for the call tonight. She doesn't know what she's talking about. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can bring up whatever you want. The reason why they can't feed themselves in Venezuela is because of and nationalizing the resources there. The government took over businesses, and they ran them into the ground, and they overregulate, and more coming up. Free talk.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state, until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The U.S. is sending a carrier strike group and bombers to the Middle East in a show of force to Iran. National Security Advisor John Bolton said in a statement that the presence of the U.S. military will send a message to the Iranian government that any attack on any U.S. interests or allies will be met with unrelenting force. The move comes after a series of rocket strikes against Israel by forces in the Gaza Strip that are allied with Iran. President Trump honors the 2019 Masters champion, Tiger Woods.
Congratulations again on your amazing comeback and your amazing life. And now I'd like to ask the military aide to come forward and read the citation for Eldrick Tiger Woods Presidential Medal of Freedom. Thank you.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, in a letter, denied House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Richard Neal's request for President Trump's tax returns. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The tradition, the suspense, the race. The Kentucky Derby is the pinnacle of horse racing. Rocket Mortgage is giving away 20 VIP trips to witness the Kentucky Derby in person. And one lucky winner will receive $250,000. Use it to purchase your dream home or pay off your mortgage. Enter today at homestretchsweepstakes.com. The fashion, the mint juleps, the parties. This is your opportunity to experience it all firsthand, thanks to the Rocket Mortgage Homestretch Sweepstakes. Enter for your chance to win $250,000 and one of 20 VIP trips to the Kentucky Derby. The Rocket Mortgage Homestretch Sweepstakes. Enter today at homestretchsweepstakes.com.
No purchase necessary. 21 years or older. Ends on April 7, 2019. Homestretchsweepstakes.com. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can dial toll-free here. Join us. Bring up whatever you want, even if you're uninformed. We'll talk to you about it, just like we do with Sarah. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And, of course, we prefer you actually do have some information that's of use and some experience. And that's what we've been talking about with Uber and Lyft. If you're a rideshare driver and you want to weigh in to the conversation, we'd love to hear from you on this. I know we've had them call the show in the past, and it's always interesting to hear their perspective. You know, how do you feel about this upcoming strike that's expected on Wednesday morning in places like New York City and other cities across the U.S. and the U.K.? They're protesting various different aspects of Uber that they don't like because they took a job, a contract job, and then decided they wanted to demand and turn that into an employee position where they get paid a minimum wage. And it appears the Supreme Court of New York actually agrees with these protesters and has ruled against Lyft's lawsuit. And also,
did this have wider implications for all contracting firms?
Good question. It could, I suppose, in theory, have an implication for other gig economy businesses in New York State.
I imagine that most other contractors, though, do a type of work that pays them significantly better.
So they're more satisfied with their job.
They were probably nowhere near the minimum wage anyway.
And, of course, the minimum wage in New York City is likely much higher than it is in a lot of other places as well. But We've got more on the story, specifically rideshare company Juno. Now, I'd never heard of Juno before. Have either of you?
No.
No.
So, a relatively small company. They also, like Lyft, have sued the city regulators, the taxi regulations, the whatever bureaucracy it is that comes up with those things, over the new pay rules. This is according to Reason.com, filed court documents showing their bookings are down 30%. In just 1 month. So February was the month in which these new minimum wage rules came into play, and that same month, their bookings went down 30%. So that's a huge drop, very significant. And their average hourly compensation has also fallen by 17%. The memorandum filed by Juno in the courts reads, quote, "Costs have increased for riders. Demand for Juno's services has decreased, and hourly earnings for Juno's drivers have fallen." Reads the memorandum, which warns that these effects will only get worse so long as these rules remain in place. The decline is particularly concerning. Juno's CEO, Ronan Ben David, wrote in a separate court filing, because the company had been seeing business increase prior to implementation of the new pay rules, Juno performs only about 5% of rideshare rides in New York City, compared to 20% for Lyft and 70% for Uber. So these guys are third place and a distant third place. And that means that these new regulations are hurting them harder, as Reason will explain. Lyft, which is also suing New York City regulators, and has since lost, by the way. This article was written in March. Reports that they, too, are seeing a decline in rides booked through their app, although it hasn't been as severe as the hit reported by Juno. Lyft estimates that the city's rideshare industry could see a $50 million decline in bookings in the year of 2019. In August of last year, the New York City Council passed a bill requiring the city's Taxi and Limousine Commission, TLC, the regulator responsible for the rideshare industry, and the target of Lyft and Juno's lawsuits, to come up with pay standards that would raise drivers' earnings to $17.22 per hour. In December, the TLC did just that. They issued new driver pay rules built around a complicated formula that factors in an individual's trip time and length, as well as a company's what they call utilization rate. And that's the amount of time that drivers actually have a passenger in their car. In the lawsuits, Juno and Lyft object to the commission's rule on two grounds. The first objection, made by both companies, is the way the TLC driver pay formula employs the utilization rate. Without getting too into the weeds, the higher a company's utilization rate, meaning how much time they have a passenger in the car, so the more often that there is a passenger in their cars,
right,
the less they have to pay per trip to their drivers. That advantages companies like Uber and Via, which both have higher utilization rates, by allowing them to pay drivers less for the same exact trip. So as a result of Juno being less busy, they have to pay their drivers more.
Because their utilization rate was
lower. Right.
Okay.
So, because
doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I get the logic behind what they're saying. I'm saying legislation doesn't make any sense.
Right. It actually is benefiting Uber.
Shocking.
Yeah. So, the first, the Juno suit also argues that the companies with lower utilization rates have to raise fares in order to cope with the higher costs,
which lowers utilization rates.
Right. It scares away riders, further lowering their utilization rate and raising their per-trip costs, which requires more fare increases. The company says this vicious cycle will ultimately kill off smaller services, which makes you wonder if Uber secretly was in favor of the, you know, legislation in this particular case, because they didn't sue. It was the smaller guys, Lyft and Juno, who filed the lawsuits.
Yes, their silence on this subject is deafening.
Lyft also objects to TLC's formula calculating pay on a per-trip basis, which the company argues violates city council law establishing pay standards and creates distortions in the market. A report from MIT professor Catherine Tucker, filed as part of Lyft's lawsuit, argues that a rigid per-trip formula prevents companies from adjusting fares and driver pay to respond to changes in demand throughout the day. Tucker's report also argues the TLC's current formula rewards drivers for completing short, slow trips as opposed to longer and faster rides, essentially creating an incentive for drivers to service riders in dense Manhattan at the expense of commuters in the city's outer boroughs. That incentive works against another of the city's goals, that at least they claim, which is to reduce congestion in Manhattan. Starting in February, for-hire vehicles entering Manhattan have to pay a new fee designed to limit car trips on the island's gridlocked streets. Traditional cabs pay $2.50 per trip, while trips performed by rideshare companies are slapped with a $2.75 fee. Shared rides performed on Uber Pool or Lyft Line pay only a 75-cent fee. So now there's an extra fee if you just want to get into Manhattan, and they are biased in favor of taxi cabs.
Demonstrably biased. How would they know, however, that you're doing a rideshare program?
Well, a good question.
Is it perjury if they ask you that and you say, I'm not answering?
Perjury is only something that you do under oath.
Okay.
And it's when you lie under oath.
And even if you just say, I'm not answering, that might be some other crime, but it's not perjury because it's... If you don't answer, if you say you're not going to answer and then you don't answer, that's not a lie, I guess.
What if you do lie?
What if you say, no, I'm not driving for Uber?
Good question. I imagine that they're relying to some extent on whatever visible Uber indicators that you have, because a lot of times the drivers will have like a little the letter U in their windshield. Mm. It's kind of lit up. So that way customers know that, oh, there's my Uber, right? Like they can see the logo. But I don't know how they would know whether or not you're being an Uber pool, because Uber has different types of ride shares. There's the one that's more of like a ride share where you're picking up other passengers along the same trip. That's what the Uber pool is, I think. And then there's the kind where it's just like, I want to be alone in the car. I don't want any other passengers. I'm willing to pay more. And so they're saying those you have to pay more for. Maybe they count the number of people in the car or something like that. I don't know. Disentangling the effects of the congestion surcharge and the fare hikes that follow the new minimum pay rules is difficult. Their combined effect is that rideshare trips are costing more, and people are now taking fewer of them. Thanks to perverse incentives contained in the TLC's pay rules, the decline in trips will likely not net out any improvements in congestion. As the market for rideshare rides shrinks, total driver compensation could start to fall as well. According to Juno's court filings, it already has. Now, it says here Juno and Lyft lawsuits are still ongoing. That's not true anymore. Lyft has lost their suit. The New York Supreme Court ruled in favor of the Taxi and Limousine Committee, or whatever bureaucracy it is, the TLC in this case. So, sorry, Juno. I guess you're just going to go out of business in New York City. And ultimately...
Yeah, do business elsewhere.
Yeah. That's really the thing that these companies ought to do, is they ought to just be like, you know what? We don't need it.
No, you really don't.
We'll just leave New York City. We'll operate in all the areas surrounding it. That's what they did in Austin a few years ago when the Austin City Council cracked down and came up with a bunch of stupid regulations. Uber and Lyft both were like, well, I guess we'll just service Round Rock and all the surrounding areas, and we just won't pick anybody up in Austin anymore. Sorry, Austin. We're coming up.
Would you like to hang out with Penn Jillette? He's keynoting Freedom Fest this year. I, for one, am thrilled. Freedom Fest is the largest liberty-oriented gathering in the world. They take a Big Ten approach with libertarians, conservatives, liberals, anarchists, capitalists, and just open-minded people mingling together to hear real debates, share real solutions, and converse freely. This year's theme is the Wild West, a time of liberty and opportunity, or a time of anarchy and violence. Maybe both. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL and get your tickets now. freedomfest.com/FTL. Not convinced yet? Hey, I understand. It's a high-end event. Even with coupon code FTL50, sure, you're likely to receive investment advice that'll make that sum seem paltry. But I have something special for you. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL and you'll get the 5 best speeches from last year for free. Call it a test drive. Do yourself a favor and go to freedomfest.com/FTL. freedomfest.com/FTL. Use coupon code FTL50 for a discount.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Fellow patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. We've been focusing on the ride-sharing business, specifically in New York City, because they are just screwing everything up. The New York City regulators...
That's what government does.
Yep. Well, they're screwing, I shouldn't say they're screwing everything up. They're screwing a lot of things up and favoring certain companies and certain, you know, mega corporations. The taxi cab companies that, of course, have been in business there for decades are not happy about the existence of ride sharing, and they would like to crush the ride sharing companies. Uber is, of course, particularly ensconced with over 70% or approximately 70% of the rides in New York City from the ride-sharing side. So of those taking ride shares, 70% of them go with Uber. And we just learned from Reason.com how it is that the new regulations, minimum wage that has been put into place there for drivers of ride-sharing companies, that how that's hurting the little guys in the ride-sharing business. How a company named Juno, for instance, or even Lyft, which only gets about 20%, is being punished because they're not as busy. So therefore, because they're not as busy, they have to pay their drivers more under this new New York City regulation, which was recently held up by the Supreme Court there in New York State. Now, whether or not they're going to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court is another question. I have not heard that. But in the meantime, these companies might go out of business, or at the very least, they may end up going out of business in New York City and continuing doing business in friendlier jurisdictions that aren't trying to, you know, crush these companies out of business.
That is kind of a problem, though, because the cities that could actually sustain them tend to be liberal ones,
Sure.
That are passing these sorts of minimum wage laws that will ultimately drive them out.
And that is another bad thing, is that a lot of municipalities play the monkey see, monkey do game, where if one municipality does a thing, then the other municipalities do the same thing. So we may end up seeing similar laws passed elsewhere. But as of right now, New York City, I believe, is singular in that it's the only place in the U.S., at least, that is treating these contractors like employees and guaranteeing them certain minimum wages. And so this could be very bad for other places, but so far they haven't implemented in other places quite yet. And it sort of brought me to, another aspect of this that I thought would be important to point out. Because, Arya, you'd suggested that these frustrated contractors go ahead and just start their own company.
Absolutely.
Now, of course, as we've just pointed out, that basically will put them out of, these new rules will put them out of business in an instant if they were to do that.
Not if they don't have employees.
No. This applies to all of the people with contractors. So.
Right, but if you are your own company...
Oh, you're saying you would be your... You
they would
as
have
one,
to program the app themselves.
Wait. Are you saying you as one driver would be your own company?
Yeah.
No, that wasn't what I... What I don't think you were talking about, all right? You were talking about another ride-sharing app that could have multiple drivers?
Yeah, I mean, that would be the extreme version of this.
Yeah.
Well, but right. You are required, even if you own the company, to pay yourself a minimum hourly wage.
I guess you would be.
If you pay an hourly wage.
And there's also licensing in New York City now as well, so...
Wait, so you still have to abide by all of that. That would be really unique to require a minimum profit, basically, for a sole proprietor.
It sure would.
New York's crazy enough to do that, I
guess. That's why they pay themselves by salary instead of hourly, is to get around that.
Well, the contractors are paid per ride, or that's the way it was supposed to be.
I'm talking about entrepreneurs who start businesses, and obviously they don't make enough profit at the beginning on the first day to pay themselves, you know, a minimum wage. So
the average person doesn't want to do that, though, right? Like, the average person isn't enough of an entrepreneur. Like, the people that join these companies as drivers are of enough of an entrepreneurial mindset to value the idea of setting their own hours. But they may not be enough of an entrepreneur to actually start their own company and have to go through whatever legal mumbo-jumbo that they have to do, right? Like, if you sign up for Uber and Lyft... It's like, you know, you sign up, you give them your ID, they put you through a background check. If you pass the background check, you can start giving people rides. Like, there's like a, you know, 15-minute training video that you watch that tells you to, you know, be nice to people and whatever. Don't insult the handicapped people and, you know, all that. But, you know, in order to start your own company in New York City, can you imagine how difficult that is? How you know, bureaucratically frustrating that must be? You know, to form whatever kind of New York corporation or...
Which is why you have to pay somebody else 20% to do it for you.
Exactly. However, what if somebody were to decentralize ride sharing? Meaning that the ride sharing companies, Uber and Lyft, made an impact in the world by taking a established old business, an old centralized business like the taxi business, and they brought the internet to play in a way that had never been done before, and they allowed people to work as contractors and be given, you know, fares through this sort of system. Basically, Uber and Lyft argue in their court filings and, you know, such that they're just a matchmaker. They're just a rider, driver, matchmaker. That's all they do. That they don't actually have cars, although eventually that'll change when they have their automated cars. But for now, they're just a matchmaker, just like any other matchmaking website. And I think it's a strong argument in their case. But what if this, you know, decentralized ride-sharing app doesn't even have any kind of corporate structure at all? What if it's just an app? What if somebody just somewhere in the world programs an app that allows drivers to meet riders, but that there's no big, you know, corporation in between siphoning off 20 or 30%. What if it's only taking 1% or 5% or, you know, very, very small amount of money just to continue programming the app and, you know, offer some level of tech support for the app, but really ultimately doesn't have any kind of nexus in New York? So there's not like there's an office in New York State that there's no group of people to be regulated, I guess is what I'm saying. It's just an app. It's like, hey, we're...
Well, if the app is being continuously updated and offering tech support, then it's not just an app, like, existing in the, you know, ethereal realm. Mm-hmm. There's people there.
Right. I don't know. I'm just trying to kind of figure out how this could differ, because I'm thinking like Cell 411, for instance.
Right.
Cell 411 is an emergency alerts app. And that's its primary goal. You can have a list of friends within the app that also have the app, and then if something happens to you, maybe it's, you know, a tragic thing, you're getting pulled over, or your house is on fire, or whatever, or somebody's having a medical emergency, you can send out an alert to your friends, and they can, if they're available in the area, they can respond. And something they added to that app in recent years was a ride-sharing aspect. Now, I don't think it's very well utilized. It's not, you know, it was never really marketed as the main purpose of the app, but it's there. And it allows anybody who uses the app with no oversight. There's no application that, like with Uber, you got to pass a background check. With this, and no background check because there's nobody checking anything. It's just a mechanism within an app that allows somebody to say, I got a car, and there's no rule about how old the car has to be or how many doors it has to have. There's none of that stuff. It's just like, you have a car? Go ahead, put your car into the app, you know, put the details, put a picture of your car on your profile, and then you can just take anybody that needs a ride in the area. They can say, I need a ride. That offer will go out to all of the drivers that are within a certain vicinity, and you can decide as the driver, I want to, you know, only receive requests within a 5-mile radius, a 10-mile radius, you know, you decide, like, right, what your territory is going to be. And so the ride request comes through, and more than one person could respond. So with Uber, again, it's more centrally controlled. Uber says, oh, Melanie needs a ride. Aria is the closest driver. Ding! Aria gets a ride request. You get 10 seconds to decide whether or not you want it. Otherwise, it comes to me as the other driver because I'm second closest to you. And then it goes to Matt, who's third closest to you. And then until somebody finally says, I'll take this ride. With Cell 411, the ride request goes out to all potential drivers in the area.
I mean, you can still find a way to automate that without, you know, some sort of corporate structure.
Exactly. And so those drivers in the area can then respond and say, well, I can take you, and it'll cost you this amount of money. And then somebody else could respond and say, oh, I'll take you, and it'll cost you this amount. So then you actually get competing bids from the different drivers. Instead of having, again, centrally controlled, Uber decides. If you're in Manchester, you get paid $1 a mile. I don't know if that's what it is, but they decide on the mileage per market. Now, it's nice that they're able to change that market to market, but with decentralized ride sharing, each driver would decide what they're willing to charge. Oh, I'm at home right now. I don't really feel like getting up to and watching a movie, but if you pay me this amount of money, I'll take you to wherever you want to go. And somebody else might already be on the road offering it for half the price. So then the rider gets to decide which person they want as their driver.
Well, see, you're being too consumer friendly, is what it is. And there's nothing, you know, that New York City and places like that hate more than the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we're literally the ones paying these people to actually do these tasks, that isn't important.
Yeah, all these fees fall on the consumer. All these extra increases, it's the consumers who have to bear those.
Right. Because New York, like most statist environments, has this mentality that they can fix all the world's problems. All they have to do is take a certain amount of money from X to give to Y. And magically, that somehow creates money.
It doesn't work that way. But even if they were to create money, that would also be a bad thing, too, as we've seen with the federal government and central banking and all that. So, I mean, we've yet to really see a good decentralized ride-sharing app. Cell 411 is probably the best that I've seen. There was another attempt that failed miserably. But it could be done, and it could be what these drivers need. More coming up.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.